So, okay, then you introduced Sam Walton doing that, but is your sister Helen?
Yeah.
About Helen, that was unusual for a woman, probably even to get a college degree back then, maybe, but the fact that she went into finance.
Yeah,
what drove her into finance?
Well, I think it was my dad's influence. He wanted to get her to get a degree to where she self-sufficient and whether she knew about business. And I think that's a mistake we make today, is that more students don't take accounting and finance, because it applies not only to the business you're in, but it applies to everyday job and your personal finances at home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Your sister Helen married Sam, or during the war, really.
1943,
yeah.
How did Helen and Sam meet?
Well, they met at the bowling alley.
Where?
In Claremore. We had a bowling alley here. And he pulled that old line that all men have used, you know, forever, and it still works. And that is, haven't I seen you someplace before? So anyway, she was bowling. And he met her at the bowling alley. And then they got acquainted. And Sam moved here because he lived here in Claremore versus Pryor. He was working at the munitions plant at Pryor. And he thought he'd probably go into service. So there was no place to live in Pryor. So he found a room here. And that's the way he wound up here.
And he was born in Kingfisher, Oklahoma.
Yeah, being born in Kingfisher. His dad worked for a mortgage company. He grew up in Shelbyna, Missouri. At one point in time, was the youngest Eagle Scout in the state of Missouri, 14 years old, and saved a person's life when he was about 14 or 15. He was drowning in the river. Milk cows. Always had a girlfriend there, and he always told me, girlfriend, he had a secret signal. See? When she was at home, well, she would pull a certain window shade down, and that let him know she was at home. And his Sam went on to University of Missouri in Shelbyna. They won a state championship. They were state champion. He was a quarterback there. So he's always been, you know, Eagle Scout at 14. He's always been an achiever. And he was at the University of Missouri, too.
So how did he get to Claremore?
Well, came to Claremore after he graduated from Missouri. He went to work for J.C. Penney Company in Des Moines, Iowa. He came to Claremore to work at the munitions plant, and the job was available. And so he came to work there because he thought he'd be drafted. And he met Helen, and they got married. Then in his physical examination, they found out that he had a heart murmur. And that's the reason he didn't go overseas. His brother Bud went overseas and flew B-25 bombers. And Sam there would send him overseas. Two or three things happened, if you don't mind, I'll tell you about them. But they're really interesting, I think. And that is that Sam, one of his jobs was that he was stationed at a prisoner of war camp in southern Arizona in charge of something like 10,000 German prisoners during World War II. My brother Stan was in the Navy, lieutenant senior grade in the Navy, and the Navy uniforms have lots of blue and lots of gold braid on them. Of course, everybody knows the Germans are very regimented and attentive and so forth. And so my brother Stan wanted to go down to see Sam and Helen at this prisoner of war camp. So Sam wanted to show Stanford, my brother, the prisoner of war camp, and it was a huge facility. And they had an exercise ground encapsulated with a huge fence that had a walkway on top, and where the Germans would go out and do their exercise and so forth. So anyway, Stan and Sam walked out on this walkway, and the Germans looked up and saw all this gold braid on my brother Stan, and all of a sudden they said, "Ach, boom!" And 10,000 heels all clicked together at the same time, and Stan said it just scared the holy hell out of him. And later on, talking to Sam, he said they never had any discipline problems with all those Germans. And he said they hung two or three of them. The Germans hung their own people or either disorderly conduct or not obeying a senior officer or something like that. They had their own trial and took care of their own problems, which was interesting to me.
Weren't you the ring bearer in the
wedding? I was the ring bearer in the wedding, yeah.
Of Helen and Sam.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, it's Presbyterian Church. And Helen was always active in the Presbyterian Church and has held national offices, and she was active in what they call sub-debs here, and Claremore was a girls' organization, very active, and all the girls in town belonged to it. And,
do you remember when Sam or Helen brought Sam home and brought him around your family?
Yeah, sure.
And your father, did he take to Sam? Was that they approved of him right away?
Yeah.
What kind of a guy was Sam? Do you remember?
Oh, great. He just absolutely phenomenal. Probably one of the most thoughtful people I've ever known in my life. Yeah. And I'll give you a good example of that. Was, he could have had anybody in the world, build buildings for him. I told him I'd like to build something for him. So he gave me the opportunity to build about between 10 and 12 shopping centers for him. And it wasn't any different than if he was going to hire you to do it. I mean, it was strictly an arm's length transaction. Everything in our family has been business, but it's always been arm's length, irrespective of whether it's father-son, father-daughter, cousins, whatever.
So this wasn't, as we say, a brother-in-law deal?
No. No, there was a long ways from that. Anyway, we built about a million two hundred thousand square feet of shopping centers, and they all had a Walmart store in them. The thing I was going to tell you about was that Jimmy Carter had him down to Georgia to hunt on one of these structured hunts, you know, where they have the wagon and the bird dogs and they put the birds out and all. And so as a consequence, rightfully so, Sam had President Carter down in South Texas on his lease that he has down there. The Secret Service people came, you know, a week or 10 days ahead of time, and Bud Walton looked in their trailer. This FBI or the Secret Service guy showed him their trailer with all their guns and ammunition, and it said they had enough stuff in there to start World War III in that trailer. Night scopes and all these things. So anyway, my point is that Sam Walton is entertaining the former President of the United States. Lloyd Elliott, Phil Smith, Ron Liebel, and myself were 10 or 12 miles away at another camp hunting on a contract day basis. And Sam called me over there. And he said, Frank, he said, we're having the president here tonight for dinner. And we're having some guests over, and we'd like for you to come over. I said, well, I've got three people with me. And I told him who they were, and he knew all these people. Well, he said, bring them along. So we went over and we had dinner with President Carter. And then around the campfire, and everybody sat around the campfire, and we went around the ring, and everybody told who they were and what their business was and what their interests were and that kind of thing. Well, my point is this. Very few people that I know of, if they were introduced, if they were had the former President of the United States there as their guest, are going to be thinking about having their brother-in-law that's 10 miles away come over to have dinner with them. Now, he didn't have to do that. You know, he was something else.
Age-wise, was he much older than you?
Oh, I don't recall what the age difference was, but he was older, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably, I'd say 10 years older.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So he was obviously a real great member of the family.
And
it was just like having your own blood around.
Yeah. And the opportunity he gave. My brother Nick would run the ranch, and of course we all had an interest in the ranch. And, you know, he included my brother Nick and some of the things that Walmart did as far as locations and things of that kind, you know. And my brother Stan built a store for him in Owasso. He was just as thoughtful a person as as you could ever imagine anybody being.
You remembered him, though, when he married Helen, that he was just then, I mean, his first Ben Franklin store.
Yeah.
How did he get that?
Well, he got that in Newport, Arkansas, and I think a guy named Jones that owned it. But anyway, he bought that, and then he immediately, with his expertise in retail, he immediately had the volume, I think, was 35,000 to start with, and in about 2 or 3 or 4 years, well, he got it up to like 150 or 185,000, which was a huge volume back then. And my dad helped him some get started.
Did he grant him a loan?
I think he loaned him some money. Yeah.
To buy that?
No, he didn't loan him all the money, but he helped him some, you know, financially.
So that's when he bought the Ben Franklin store?
In Newport, Arkansas. Yeah.
And then he hadn't developed his concept yet for Walton.
No.
Walmart. And Walton's Five and Dime was a store, I believe.
Ben Franklin to start with, and after he got so many Ben Franklin stores, then he started to Walton Five and Dime. And he had about 12 or 15 stores, and they were individual stores.
Did you help him along the way in any of this?
Not really. That was his own. That was his own doing. The thing that happened when he got the idea for the discount store business, he went to City Products, which owned a Ben Franklin franchise, and proposed to them his idea on a discount store. And wanted him to be his partner, and they didn't think it was a good idea, that they weren't interested in that, and so then he lost the store in Newport because he didn't have an option to exercise and extend the lease, and the building owner kicked him out and put his own son in the store. And so that's when Sam and Helen moved to Bentonville. And I tell you, one reason they moved to Bentonville was Helen didn't want to go to a major city and raise her family. And they were going to go to St. Louis. And she wanted to raise her family in a different place than that. So they went over to Bentonville. Bentonville had 3,000 people in it then. And the biggest deal in town was the Kraft cheese plant. And grade B milk. All the dairies had grade B milk, and they all sold to the cheese plant, Kraft cheese plant. And the difference in Newport, Arkansas, I never will forget Sam telling me this, the difference in Newport, Arkansas, and the difference in Northwest Arkansas, one thing that really shows you the frugality of the community, in Newport, very seldom did they ever have anybody come in to the store. They sold shades for windows, pull-down shades, and asked for the ends off of shades that they had altered to fit the window. Maybe they'd have somebody in Newport once a year. When he got to Northwest Arkansas, it wasn't uncommon to have somebody come in once a month or maybe twice a month and ask to get the ends off of the shades that they had cut so they could patch their existing shades. So just a much more frugal people. And most of the folks over there either had dairies, and there was a big apple orchard area in that time. They had lots of apples up in that area. But it was a difference. A great place to raise a family.
So that frugality, did that help form his concept or model for the store?
I don't think
that they would be interested in discount. No, they were so frugal.
I don't think it had anything to do with it.
Okay.
That's just the makeup of the population.
Yep.
Where you have a huge farming community down in Newport, you know, large farms there. And up in Northwest Arkansas, here you've got these individual operations, small dairies, apple farmers that watch every penny. You know, it's just a different mindset.
Yeah.
And what I thought was really interesting about the difference in the two communities, you know.
Maybe nationalities, maybe it was anything.
I don't think so.
Do you remember him? He would try things, obviously, in his store.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember him talking about that?
Trying. He made a lot of mistakes. They'd try it. If it didn't work, they'd try something else.
Yeah.
And he was always, we went to Mayo's together, go through the Mayo Clinic. And while we were in Mayo's in Rochester, Minnesota, well, he looked at every store in Rochester. You know, he'd go in and talk to the store manager and ask him how business was and see how they were merchandising. And some stores he'd ask him about their under-counter stock and have him show them their under-counter stock and how they took care of it. He was always looking for new ideas. And he was the best judge of people that I've ever seen. And he never forgot anybody's name. It's kind of like the old chef, you know, they had talking about the 12 steakhouses. He said, you know, Ruth's is good. There's all kinds of different steakhouses. And then they asked the chef, said, well, which one do you go to? He said, the one where they can remember my name. And that's what Sam was. You know, once he met you, he knew your name. Which is a real art.
Was it true that he'd just drive around in a pickup truck? And
He had no flair to show anybody that he was bigger or better than they are. And the other thing that he did, he was a great competitor. He used to play makeup basketball game when he was 65 years old. We'd go to the gym and have a makeup basketball game, you know. And
you played?
And he played tennis. We played tennis. He'd always beat me at tennis. And I could beat him at ping pong every now and then.
It sounds like you and Sam developed a really good relationship.
Oh, yeah. We're
It wasn't just because you were related.
No.
It was a spirit.
He was a super guy. Yeah, he was.
And then we should say Sam and Helen, their children, and their names.
Yeah. Sam and Helen's children is Rob Walton is the oldest. Then John was the second son. Then Jim, and the third son, and then Alice Walton.